Hello and welcome to Clear the Air with me, Jess.
And me, Kaylee. Let's Clear the Air with Jess and Kaylee will be available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. The podcast is there to discuss all things personal, mindset, political, female, and a massive note sharing. So make sure to tune in to us every Tuesday. Thanks, guys.
Hello there.
Hello, darling.
I'm going to say how are we, but I don't want to.
You can't help ourselves.
Impossible. How are we this fine? It's not fine, actually. It's just a
Monday.
Dark Monday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just saying, just before we start recording, I'm a bit deflated today, but we've come to the crux of it because I haven't really left my town for 2 weeks. You know, we've had really cool things happen, like our series, well, the series your series that I'm in, Keep Calm and Carry On, has been announced. Mm. I had an editor assigned to my new book and it's all cool stuff. But then I'm like, because I haven't left, I'm like, well, I am a failure. But it's not, we're just talking about it. It's not, I don't know why we feel like this. This is something else we're going to have to delve into.
Yeah, it's just, if I'm not ram-packed with things and flying here, there and everywhere, even if it's stuff through the computer, such an old person, you know what I mean, like work through like work from home, then yeah, I just feel shit. I'm like, oh, what am I doing?
I feel like this is something from lockdown that's affected us all, because when I get a bit like, oh, I used to just get up and do something, but now I kind of stay home. I think my brain's been a bit twisted from lockdown. I swear to God, there best not be another one. I'll put this on record, I will not be sticking to the rules. Although I'm saying that and I haven't left the house practically all day, problems go, oh, that's just done, so maybe I would.
No, I'm with you. It's yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? But you know what's really funny is when I'm on set, I'm always like, oh, I wish I was at home.
I know, why are we like this? What does anyone else have this?
Because I'm awful. Like when I'm on set and like every night, you know, you get home at like 10 p.m., you're not eating properly, you're not like, you're stressed or you're learning lines, or you know, like, I don't know. I'm always very like when you're on set as well, because you're either doing a take where you're playing a character, you're learning lines, you've got words going through your brain, or a lot of the time offset, you're chatting to people, you're chatting to crew, cast, meeting new people. So like your brain is working like overload. And I'm always so drained at the end of a shoot. And I get home and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do one of them for another year. And then like a week later, I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
Where's my next back on set? I'm the same. I remember being on strike and I was a really long day and I had a lot of crying. So I was like drained from that anyway.
Yeah.
I got back into the trailer and I was like, oh God, I'm looking forward to getting home today. And then I was like, I'm really going to regret saying that because I'll be home next week and I won't have my next job for a while and I'm going to hate life. And lo and behold, boom.
Yeah. And I just, do you know what? We haven't actually talked about this like privately. This is just, I'm going on the record with this. I keep getting the shittest like tapes, like literally tapes that I know I'm not going to get. So like I had to do I don't know how much I can say because obviously you sign like an NDA on these things.
Yeah.
I had to do a tape for something where I had to play a Texan girl who's blonde and plays exceptionally good football.
Do you play exceptionally good football?
Well, I mean, I've played football since a kid, but like I'm not like a pro, am I? Like, I mean, I think if I went against Jermaine, he's gonna beat me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not like anything special. Do you know what I mean? I can kick a ball about, but I can't do tricks here, there, and everywhere. But I just thought, what irritated me is that tape took me like 2 hours. And I said to Kieran, I was like, realistically, that's gonna go to a girl from Texas.
Yeah.
It's not gonna go to me.
I think I know what you might have taped for.
Did you have the same?
No, I haven't had a tape since strike. Don't, I'm upset.
Are you joking?
No, I haven't had a single self-tape. This is what I mean, like, with our industry, and people are like, oh, it must be so glam. It's not, because the minute you haven't got a tape for, like, what, since strike, that was my last self-tape, which I got the job, I haven't had a self-tape since.
It's so, you can literally get, like, 5 tapes in a week where you can get nothing for months. Like, it's just literally,
I have to get any.
Yeah, it's mad. But to be fair, mate, like, I'm gonna say this, I'd rather be getting none at the moment than what I'm getting tapes for, because
no, you don't feel wish like that upon shit yourself.
But you feel like shit because it's like being set up to fail. And I know it's not, because I understand, like, your agents put it up for you. The casting director's obviously seen something in you that wants to see you tape. So I respect that, and I love taping, and I love doing different roles. But sometimes you just, once you've been in the industry a while, you just know. So you're like, that is going to go to somebody who's American, because realistically, it's easier for them to shoot. It's cheaper to have somebody who's down the road. I'm not going to get it, and they're not going to fly me over from the UK for that for 3 months.
Yeah.
It's just, I know, it sounds ridiculous. It's so true.
So I had a tape years ago, obviously a couple of years now, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe longer than that because of COVID. I taped for the part of Keely on Ted Lasso.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah, and it was Juno Temple that got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would have loved that role, but obviously Juno Temple is phenomenal in it. But I just remember that I got that told, I want to get this one. Clearly didn't get it, but then I didn't have a tape for like about another year. And then I did a tape, didn't get it, and then did a tape and then got Strike. And it's just like, it's so hit and miss. This industry is hard. You've got to, no wonder we get days where we just like hate life, because it's like, you know, if you're doing something with fulfillment each day, great, but we're so fulfilled in what we chose to do and what kind of, you know, most people in this industry wanted to do it from birth, you know. And then when you're not getting tape. So what I did yesterday to cheer myself up was, obviously I didn't want to feel like down. So yesterday I woke up a little bit anxious and I was like, okay. So I ended up like getting monologues and just practicing. And I was like, I'm still doing what I wanted to do. And then you sent me a script. And I was like, oh my God. So I do feel like manifestation is a thing. Like I always have said that, you know, if you think, I'm not very woo-woo as in like, oh, think it and you'll get it. I think you work for it and you get it. And it's almost like, I was like, okay, sorry, I'm just going to practice just because I can. I haven't got a class to go to this week or anything. So I'm just going to practice. And I practiced and then you sent me a script. And I was like, well, damn, whatever that was, because that's really cool.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I especially need to remember this on days like today, is to remember to like push into that, just do what you love for the joy of it rather than an outcome. And then I did it for the joy and then I got an outcome. You sent me the script, like learning some lines on that. So that was pretty cool. So there's ways around it, but sometimes you'll have to just feel a bit bleh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's, I think as well, when you work on the other side of it, whether it's in like casting or production, that you know the amount of time you put into a tape, and you know that sometimes they're watched for like 10 seconds and they look at your look or they look at your accent or whatever it is, and they're like, no, not right. And it's just I think it's hard because you've got to be creative in different ways, and that's why me and you have said before that we do different things to ensure that we're not just sat at the end of the phone. But then sometimes I find it hard to go back to the acting, and I find it hard to do tapes and stuff because it is put in that it's putting it in someone else's hands, whereas obviously what I do apart from acting is all in my own control. So I think I do struggle with that more now.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because that's the thing with these kind of careers. It is, like, I guess singers have this as well. Then, you know, if they haven't got signed or anything, your whole future is it whether someone believes in you or not.
Yeah.
Which I suppose leads us on to
what we were talking about. You went and watched the Elvis film, didn't you?
Oh my God, it was. So I think I've been feeling a bit off for about 3 days, and then on Saturday night I went to see Elvis and it gave me my inspiration back, and not just because it's Elvis and he's amazing, but it was because of the acting itself. Like Austin Butler, who played Elvis, I was like, this kid, he's not a kid, he's about 2 years younger than me, but he needs an Oscar. Like, he was so phenomenal. And then I thought to myself, and I kept watching interviews of him doing, you know, all the publicity for it, and I just thought to myself, I was like, wow, this kid was just as nervous as anyone else is going on to do this. Yeah, he used that to become Elvis, because he thought to himself, there's an interview I was listening to, and he said, you know, I was so scared that I was going to let the director down, I was going to let the cast, the crew, that everyone down on this big film. And I went out and I just was in the dressing room, and I remember thinking to myself, this is the part where Elvis would have gone out, and he probably was shitting himself too, because he was about to go on a big stage full of loads of people, and this is his make or break bit. And he's like, I can use that to embody Elvis more. And I was like, wow, okay, so we can use all these things to help us anyway. And just because of his amazing performance, it gave me that drive again, and that's when I sat down and got the monologues out and started practicing, because I think it's so nice to feel passionate about something, and sometimes we can lose it and we're like, feeling a bit deflated, I guess, like I am today. Mm-hmm. And when you find that little bit of passion, just hold on to it a little bit, because it can brighten up your day. And even doing the pod, yeah, like today, I was laying on the sofa thinking, can't wait for today to be over. And now I'm doing the pod, I've already brightened up.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, no, it's interesting. Little things. Yeah, and do you know what is interesting though, is people's perception. So I went to watch Elvis the week before and I wasn't that impressed with it.
Not.
So I think it depends on, wow. I think it depends on your perception, doesn't it? Do you know what it was? Yeah. I thought Austin Butler was incredible. I think, yeah, I didn't quite realize what I was walking into. So I think I thought I was walking into quite a happy, chappy, autobiographical feature film and was left quite depressed, which I think
is a sad story.
I didn't know enough about Elvis's story. I did know about his, like, kind of what went on, but not enough about how he kind of got fucked over and things like that. So I wasn't aware enough of what I was walking into. But I have to admit, I wasn't that impressed with Tom Hanks's performance. I didn't feel like he was the right cast for that role. I just felt like, you know, like Polar Express, where he does all the voices.
I've never seen Polar Express.
You've never seen Polar Express? Oh my god, literally every Christmas Eve me and Kieran watch it. It's our favorite Christmas film.
Do it on Christmas.
Yeah, but what's really funny is when it came out when we were kids, we loved it because we were kids, but like adults didn't, because Tom Hanks plays like all the animated characters. Yeah. And people found it quite dull. And that's the only thing I found a little bit of Elvis, is I felt like he maybe, like, Austin Butler was like up here, but that, I don't know. I feel really bad saying this. I feel like I'm going to...
You know what it is? I think because I was so awed by Austin's performance, yeah, I think I didn't even pay attention.
Yeah, he was insane.
Because I was just like, this guy...
Yeah.
Absolutely, like... He
yeah, like, when you look at the like, on TikTok, they do, like, the next twos, and it's literally spot on. Like, he has analysed to shit those...
And how he took that on. And I was thinking, another thing I was thinking, like, it must take its absolute toll on you to put your body and mind through that, because I was saying to Jermaine when we left, when I did strike, it was one day where I had to be, like, as I say, in tears and not feeling very happy in the scene, and the next day I was like really depressed, and I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then I realized it was because physically your body is going through these emotions. I physically had to cry, so your brain picks up on that.
Yeah,
so imagine doing that for how long they were filming. It really would take a toll on you. And I think Heath Ledger said, you know, how hard it was doing the Joker, because you embody it and then your mind becomes a bit like it. So acting is actually a lot harder than I think people think. When you really go for into these in-depth characters, that are especially troubled characters, when we did Keep Calm, it was comedy, and you come out and I felt elated all the time. Even if I had to cry in it, I knew what we were saying was funny and it changes the brain. But when you happen to embody, to really make it believable that you've got drug problems, personality disorder, whatever, you take a bit of that home for a while, so you kind of step out of it, and it does kind of take its toll.
Well, weirdly enough, this is so weird you brought that up, because so I don't know if you saw in Keep Calm, Abby actually has a really emotional scene. So she has a scene where basically her boyfriend breaks up with her because she won't go and see him and break lockdown rules, like, against her mum and dad. And she has this full breakdown in her bedroom. And it was really funny, because I was going through some of the files of Keep Calm the other day, and I didn't realize that Max was actually filming me when I was preparing for the crying scene. So he caught, like, a clip of me preparing to cry. And I was obviously sat on the bed just trying to think of stuff and, like, trying to get into the moment. And you could just see where I'd gone from, like, I was talking to someone and I was like, ha-ha, like, I think it was with Kelly getting ready for the scene. And then suddenly you could see, like, a switch. And then obviously I was using whatever I was using, and suddenly I was just sobbing. And it was just insane to watch someone. And like you said, they're real emotions. Like, that. There's not, you know, we all put on elements within acting, but when it comes to scenes like that, you have to make it raw and true for it to...
Yeah. But it's not believable.
Yeah. So it's just so weird. Yeah. Because I was looking at it the other day, but I was going through most of your scenes today, actually.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah. It was episode 3, scene 5, when you're in the kitchen. You're staring out the window.
Funny story, is that when Harriet trod on my toe? So if there was any, like,
gosh, your foot.
It bruised, it went black.
Oh my, yeah, I remember that. It's
quite funny. I was like, let's carry on.
Honestly. Yeah, so it is, but... The reason that we were bringing up Elvis is because it, like you said, it brought you a lot of passion and it really kind of fueled the fire, didn't it, for you creatively?
Yeah, just reignite something. I think sometimes you just need that little kick up the backside, whether it be, you know, watching something or, and a lot of the time when I feel a bit like this, I will go to the gym because I'll put on, even if I'm not doing too much, if it's just a little run on the treadmill, if I put on motivational videos, like on YouTube, you have to put in these motivational videos or people that inspire you, like The Rock, his story inspires me because his production company, he only had a certain amount of dollars left and he's thinking shit. And then he became one of the world's most highest paid Hollywood movie stars. And I think, you know, sometimes you just need that. Again, this leads back to hope, doesn't it? Your inspiration and hope. And that's why I see it's funny when we listen to our episodes, how they all interlink. And that's what my latest book is. I'm like, it all does interlink with each other. So but you've got to come aware of it. And I think, you know, just watching someone or listening to someone's inspiration gives you that little kick to keep going. And then things come from that. And I think that's why I just loved Elvis, because I was having a bit of a day and I watched it and I was getting goosebumps, and it was just because of Austin Butler. I was absolutely awestricken by him. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I need to keep going now. And then, it just gave me that kick to do it. And I think, you know, with any of them days when we have, like today for me, if you find a little something to give you that little kick, allow yourself, although I am saying this, but, you know, you are allowed to have the odd off day, and I think that's just what I'm having, but you don't want to do it so it starts becoming a personality trait, because I'm going to bring up a book, believe it or not, but it never happens. Dr. Joe Dispenza, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and a lot of the things he says, if you can Google him on YouTube, because he does a lot of podcasts as well, and it's really interesting to listen to him, is that one bad day can end up ending up your personality, because if you stick on that, don't switch the thoughts, it just keeps going and going, and then like your bad mood becomes a bad personality and then you're stuck in it. And a lot of that happens in adulthood. You go from being a bit pissed off one day and then 10 years down the line, they're like, oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, 10 years ago this pissed me off, or 10 years ago this happened. And it's like, wow, okay, you've literally been 10 years stuck there. So I'm very conscious of like, okay, I'm allowed it off day, but don't let it be an off week, or don't let it be an off couple of days. Go and do something that you know makes you feel better. Like, so tomorrow I will get up and I'll go for a run to know I'll feel good after that, and it will start my day a bit differently. But you know, I do notice the days when I haven't done my little tricks, or, you know, done my meditation in the morning, if I haven't done my cold showers or my breathing, there's definitely a correspondence between me not doing them and my mood. So I feel like, you know, something's there, like you need to clean your teeth every day. So I'm going to meditate every morning, even if it's just 10 minutes, it's that little anchor to your thoughts to remember where you are, give yourself a bit of presence. Because the only thing that really, I think, takes us off piste a lot of time is our thoughts. Because actually, when you wake up, it's a brand new day. If you think about something yesterday that's annoyed you, that's now coming into today, and then that'll come into the next week, and it just spirals. So I think we all could do with trying to be a bit more present.
Yeah, which is such a challenge, like, because I mean, even me, like, I spend most of my time thinking, oh, what am I doing next? What's my next meeting? What am I going to have for tea? Oh, right, what have I got on this week? Like, and you do, and you then forget your surroundings and where you are right now. It's crazy. Yeah. But I was, I remember one of the films that inspired me so much and made me want to act so badly when I was a teen is Like Crazy. Have you ever watched it?
No, I haven't. What's wrong with it? No, I've not seen this.
Oh my God. It stars Felicity Jones, and it was made on like 250 grand. And it's like a rom-com, but it's not. It's a romantic drama, really. And it's about, she plays a British student, and then you've got an American student, and she's over in the US, and they fall in love. And basically she ignores like the visa to go back to the UK and ends up extending it to stay with him for the summer. But then when she gets to the airport, they obviously like deport her back to the UK and she can't come back to the US. So they're like apart, and they try and make it work, but they can't make it work. And then they kind of move on with their lives. But it, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it sounds so simple, but in the film, the performances are so raw, and it made me so badly just want to, I don't know, like, I even emailed the director, I remember, like, literally last year, just to say how much significance the film had on me, and he replied, and it was so lovely.
Wow.
It was amazing. Honestly, it was such a big thing for me, and I used to watch it over and over and over again. And I remember, like, we had a computer in the corner in our living room, and I remember, like, my parents would go out on, like, dinners and that, and I'd just watch the film on loop, and I'd watch Oh, I don't know why that is, because it is signed in to me. We'll just go back on it. And yeah, and it just had a massively like profound effect on me, which was just insane. But what was my point? So yeah, and but I've never done like a rom-com or remote romantic film, and I've always wanted to. Like, I've always wanted to just like I've always wanted to explore the ins and outs of a relationship on screen, and I've just never had the chance to as of yet.
Well, any script writers, and you've got a good old script.
Absolutely. No, I would. I'd love to. Like, I'd really love to. Have you ever done anything like that?
Well, no, I haven't. I think the closest. No, I haven't. No, I've done no rom-coms, but I reckon I'd love to. Because I'm a very, I think my whole life spent was giving my own self a little rom-com movie in my own head. And I think that's where a lot of my problems stem from. I was like, oh, it should be like the movies. And
it's, yeah, it's really interesting, like, to explore relationships. So I have worked on sets with people who have been portraying romantic relationships, and I do, you know, I have seen people who have fallen into the trap of believing their characters to be true emotions. Do you know what I mean? And that was an interesting to watch once, like how people, like we were saying about being sad, but actually getting caught up in other like feelings when they're portraying a character. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, although I think, you know what, I was thinking this as well the other day, how even listening to certain music can make you feel differently.
Without
like,
a doubt.
I sit in the car and I've been always play like, you know, Jolly Be Good and all that stuff, but then I started playing this like love song, and I swear me and Jermaine got more like cute to each other. I've been playing these songs on obsessive repeat.
Or it reminds you of things in life. Like, I remember, like, I put on, like, if I put on Taylor Swift, I like, it literally reminds me of like me and my best friend like singing out to it on a sleepover, like, and having crushes on boys and stuff like that. It's weird what music can do to you, isn't it?
I think anything that goes into your brain, and this is a thing we all need to watch, I think, what goes in, I think our brains are so much like computers. What goes in is what we output.
Mm.
So like if I'm listening to angry rap music, I swear to God, I can drive like an arsehole. Like... I'm like, well, I'll just turn that off. But you know what I mean? Like, if you, whatever you input, you get output. So when I input, you know, I was playing with the script yesterday, suddenly the output is, oh, I've got one from you, so I can play on it. You don't have to sneeze. Bless you. and then, you know, and it's the same with anything. So, like, if I'm having a bad day, I really try and stop. I'm always trying to say about balance and finding balance, because you can't just say, and be that toxic positivity where you're like, no, there's nothing wrong, absolutely everything is fine, because then you're not allowing yourself to feel. So it's that balance of letting it out but not letting it keep going.
Definitely.
And I don't know how I just got to that. My brain's just absolutely had one. Yeah, input output. I don't know where that's come from. But yeah, I think, you know, with anything too much of anything is... Kaylee, why am I rambling? I don't know what just happened. My brain is apt. See what I mean? This is one of them days where you just write it off. Because I realise it's probably not going to go great for me the rest of the day. I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll feel inspired.
I love it. Do you know what? Some of my favourite things in life is just random conversations and thoughts. And this is like, I promise you, this will be one of my favourite episodes because we're just chit-chatting. Like, I love just like random thoughts. And No, it's so interesting. But yes, passion.
Passion.
And hope.
No, we'll try and get back to that, because I think without it, like, I was writing a chapter the other day about, and I think I spoke about this in the last pod, about like passion and goals and, oh my God, purpose.
Yeah.
And I spoke about it, didn't I? And I think passion can come in with a bit of purpose, because you want to find purpose in your passions, because then you've got a better life because you're doing what you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry, guys, if you listen to this episode and I've absolutely...
You haven't. We were doing so well. And then...
My brain's just gone, nah. That's what you're getting today.
No, I think the end of the day, what we wanted to discuss was that there's... there's no right way or wrong way, that sometimes even if you've got a passion or a drive, sometimes you might have a day where you fall out of love with it, or it's not necessarily going the right way. And there are many different things that can re-energize that and fuel that. And
yes,
it was a perfect example what happened when you were feeling a bit down, you hadn't had a great few days, and then you went and watched this film and it just energized and fueled and ignited everything that you're passionate about, your drive. And then look at the next day you had, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You had a fantastic day. You got a script, you were doing work and looking at monologues, then you got an editor for your new book. Like, it's such a great day. And it just shows you that actually, like you were discussing just before we hopped on the pod, that that belief in manifestation, like, you put in the work and things will come to you. And I think that that's exactly why we wanted to do this episode, just to have a general chit chat as well, but also to discuss passions. And that don't be afraid to have days where maybe you're upset about what you're passionate about, because you're like, why the fuck didn't I just choose to work, I don't know, in a supermarket full time and have a family, and that's the decision I made. Like, you know, when we have our passions, and we've all had, like, I remember, like, literally like 4 years ago, I remember going to my mum and going, why didn't I just go to fucking college, go and do hairdressing, and now I could just talk to people every day, cut their hair, style their hair, and just be like sorted, you know? But that's not what I was passionate about. Now other people are, and that's incredible. But that wasn't my passion. And it is difficult, and you have difficult days, but then you have films like Crazy or Elvis that reignite that, and you go on projects, or you get auditions, or you meet fantastic people, and it just fuels that once again.
And I think we forget that not every single person in the world, in any industry they've picked, there's going to be an off day. So we might look at people and think, oh, that's good, but we've all been given these different talents, different things to work on, so that we've got this diverse world. Because otherwise, imagine if we all just did the one same thing, how boring life would be. We're all here given different things that we've been born with to contribute to our societies, but we're allowed off days. But also, we never know what's around the corner, and I think that's always important to hold on to. Because I hadn't had an audition in years, and then I got the Strike audition, and then I got that, and I'd done Keep Can't Carry On, and then I got the audition for Strike, and I was like, oh, brilliant, I got it. And it's like, I didn't see that coming, but I always held on to, you know, there's something always around the corner. I still feel like this today. There's always something. Literally, I could get a call tomorrow, my entire trajectory of life changes.
Yeah.
Like, you could get a call tomorrow and be cast as bloody Marilyn Monroe, you know, these things, this is how it happens.
I'm well excited for that film. Have you seen that film that's coming out of Ana de Armas?
I've seen the advert. So
yeah, buzzing. Good
one to watch. I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah.
But, you know, this, I mean, like, all these people that have done it, like I said, The Rock, because Chris Rock, all of these people.
Chris Rock.
Maybe not, you know, Chris Rock. I think you've got
anyone who's got The Rock in their name.
But, like, there was a point where their life flipped and changed. And I think when things aren't feeling so good, you just remember that anything can happen at any time. And, you know, as long as you're sticking to it and putting in your time, your work, your ethic, and, you know, allowing yourself to also enjoy life,
yeah,
it can just switch. And I think that's magical, and I think that's always something that keeps me hopeful, is that there's always magic to be found if you just seek it.
Definitely. Wow.
Sound like Dumbledore then, didn't I?
No, I've loved this episode. It's like we're both on something and just like, wow.
I don't know what's happened to my brain today. Like, halfway through, I was like, I have lost all brain cells. Where have they gone? Come back.
I love
Lightful as always. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks to all our listeners, and we will see you next week.
We'd like to say a special, special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, and Popple for our jingle and raspberry.